This is a HeadGum Podcast.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart Family Cards. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or whether you should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart, and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamaris.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is Go Touch Grass, the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok twins, niche influencer drama, so that you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. And if you like what you hear today, and you want to hear more, we've already got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating.
Yep.
And review. Speaking of reviews, we have officially, again, as we announced last week, reached our road to 100.
Yes.
We have over 100 reviews on both Apple and Spotify, which we're obsessed with. We love.
Thank you to everybody. You guys came through.
It was a great campaign. I feel like at the end of the PBS, viewers like you, listeners like you, keep us going. So, again, we are going to just tease what we're going to do for our special episode for our Patreon, which is, again, the put a pin in the discourse thing.
Yeah. So as you guys know, put a pin in that discourse has become kind of an unofficial slogan here at Go Touch Grass for all the things that we just can't even
get into.
In the moment. So we will be picking from a list of pinned discourses since we launched. It's from both Free Feed Apps and Patreon apps compiled by friend of the pod, Tyler Chambers. We're unpinning them. We're discoursing on them. Some pinned discourses include, what does sprinkle sprinkle mean?
Yes. And also another thing we're going to unpin is the TikTok phenomenon of people finding secret rooms in their homes.
Terrifying
trend.
Nick Cannon is another pinned discourse that we will be unpinning.
Nick Cannon, again, overlaps with so many things, like
so many
absentee
discourses.
Fathers,
so
too
many
kids, colorism,
Nickelodeon,
embarrassing Mariah Carey. It's so loaded. We need its own episode for that. So, yeah,
We're very excited.
We're excited. But without further ado,
let's get into
our episode, because we have an incredible guest with us today. She's a comedian. She's an actress. I saw a headshot somewhere. I'm saying actress. She's an influencer and host of a very funny pod that me and Elise both love.
We love.
Celebrity Memoir Book Club. Mm-hmm. Everyone, welcome Claire Parker.
There she is.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I cannot wait.
I know. We're so excited. Your other half was here on a very crucial day, actually.
Yes. Actually, I wrote, did you see the first question?
I see.
That I drafted for you, because I want you to say that to Claire.
Ashley Hamilton, your co-host.
I'm familiar with her.
Yeah, you're familiar. She was here on a very crucial day because I was not able to be here. So she sat in the co-host's chair for us.
Oh my gosh.
Because I had booked the role, not to brag, of non-speaking concert goer with potential for upgrade in a commercial.
For a cell phone company.
I love cell phones, so I'm so happy that you're promoting one of my personal passions.
Wow. See, and that's the influencer in you, because you know how to do the spawn con, baby.
Can I say, Ashley is my co-host, but my real co-friend is my phone.
Phone. My job is phone. Barbie.
Yeah, so she did step in with us, and I do feel like, you know, when I realized that this was going to happen, I said, as a Celebrity Memoir Book Club fan, I said, obviously, Ashley's a co-host extraordinaire. She's going to know exactly what to do, how to keep up the energy, how to ask the right questions, move things along, etc.
It felt like a super band, honestly, with me and Ashley. It's like two bands combined together to make...
The boy genius of podcasting.
The boy genius of podcasting.
Wow.
That's what it was. So you guys get to create your own special boy genius.
Yeah, exactly. One day we'll collab.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, by asking the question.
Oh, yes. By asking our question. So, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So, Claire, of the memoirs that you have read, are there any that you think would do social media really well? This is the question that we also asked Ashley. What do you think makes for a good celebrity social media presence?
Well, I guess we do have people that have done well. Julia Fox is somebody who exists in and of social media in many ways, right? Like, what is she besides, like, a hot girl that was... I mean, when you look at what she's done, that's tangible in terms of, like, creativity. It's the precious... Uncut Gems, which more famous than the movie was her saying it on social media.
Yeah.
And then she dated Kanye West, which was only beneficial to both of them because of the social media. It's fun. So I will say she is like a social media queen.
Yeah. Mm.
She is an it. I mean, the today's it girl we know of because they're on social media, I feel.
You know what I will say on to the Julia Fox point? I posted a character video and that did like... It didn't do, like, crazy numbers. Like, it got, like, maybe, like, 7,000 views. Like, it's not, like, it's not like it went, like, mega viral.
I'm saying it's not mega viral. Yeah,
video.
Yeah.
And but I mentioned her name in it, and she commented, LOL.
She commented.
I said, how did she find?
Well, that's how we got to interview her, because she DM'd us and was like, do you want to copy my book? Do you want to interview? And we were like,
She's online.
She's online.
I know, but it was just because it wasn't like other people tagged her in it. So I was like,
I will say one thing about, I think your FYP shows you videos that have to do with you because, you know, they're listening. So if you had captions, then
so it gets
automatically
and
sorted.
It got to Julia.
And then I will say, having interviewed her and met her, first and foremost, she's a mom.
Yeah.
You know, she's if it's nap time, what else is she doing? She's just on her phone. I think what I got most from chatting with her for like 90 minutes or whatever. But if she is like, you know, I'm a mom. Once an hour, I put on a funny fit. I go downstairs. Somebody takes a photo of me. And then I go back upstairs and I watch my kid. But she's like a full-time mom. So and as far as what I could imagine being a mom is, when I imagine myself as a mother, I'm like, well, I'm on my phone. Because that kid's not. That kid's not chatting.
Yeah.
That kid doesn't know where Kate Middleton is. I gotta get on my phone.
Yeah, well.
put a pin in that discourse.
Also, yeah, me and Julia Fox, we both have kids / dogs named Valentino.
Wow.
So, but she calls her kid Val. I call my dog Tino.
Wow.
So,
oh my gosh, I love
I will say,
interestingly enough, her we didn't get the opportunity to ask her this because we forgot. It was a rife conversation, but her dom name, like when she was a sex worker, her dom name was Valentina.
Wow.
So
like
I'm
the hot sauce.
Like, what an interesting cycle.
She looks, that is interesting.
She just like loved that name.
Yeah.
It's Italian. She's very Italian, so.
Yeah. I guess it is like, I want this name in my life in some way, shape, or form.
Well, I get that.
Damn.
Any other thoughts about celebrity and social media? Like having read, I don't know how many fucking celebrity memoirs you've read in your
probably
life.
Probably 150 to 200.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm like, you probably have a very strong opinion on celebrity and social and kind of stuff like...
Yeah, I mean, kind of too big. It's a lot to be like, so what do you think about celebrities and social media?
I'm
like,
know,
well,
I
have now dedicated like 6 hours of podcasting a week for the last 3 years to this topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess another one that comes to mind is Busy Phillips. It's an interesting...
Yeah.
And then on the other side, Kerry Washington is an interesting counterpoint because reading her book, she is an interesting celebrity in terms of her obsession with her own privacy and the way that she wrote a memoir that like kept strict boundaries. I think my overall feeling about celebrity, I mean, just to like... have one takeaway. Yeah. I feel that if you're putting it online, it is up for consumption. It's up for grabs. We're allowed to ask questions about it.
Yeah.
I believe in respecting the boundaries laid out by them, but I think you look at a Busy Phillips, a Kim Kardashian, if you're putting it online for us to praise, for you to exploit, for you to make money, we're allowed to like then ask questions when things fall apart.
Yeah.
True.
And so, and to that, I then want to ask you, do you want to put your children online? Because if Busy Phillips is somebody
that's
that I think,
a pinned discourse.
Yeah.
Children online is like such a pinned discourse.
I mean, it's, I don't know if you've read the New York Times article about the child models that are like essentially being sex trafficked. But
yeah, there's a big discussion going on online right now about like one particular, her name is Ren, who's this little girl, and she's got like 17 million followers.
Yeah.
And she's 3 years old.
And when you look at, and it's right there, it's not private. They're very out in the open about it. But I mean, we actually ran into trouble with Busy Phillips, who I think is one of the original Instagram celebrities, and that her star really rose when she took to Instagram stories hard, and then out came the Busy Phillips show, and then she's kind of had a resurgence, but she built it out by like sharing her life and her family on Instagram stories. And she wrote a memoir, and in it, it was very clear that her and her husband have a bad relationship. I actually did a video about it online because it was announced that they were kind of quietly separated. So I did a video being like, well, I can tell why, because look at what she said about him in the book. Mm-hmm. Apparently, one of her children then went to Busy and was like, Mom, why did you say this about Dad? Busy took to her podcast to be like, I think she like called us dumb and was like, how dare these girls just like discuss me like that? This is my art. Like, this is not up just for fun. Like, really coming wow. at us, which is ironic because we actually liked her book and we were discussing the art. We were looking at the characters she wrote in this memoir yeah. and we were analyzing what happened. And we were saying, if you write about a person in this way, like, this is what we took away from it. This yeah. is how we dissected the memoir you wrote.
Yeah.
All the only info we had was what you gave us. And she was saying it was just so fucked up of us to, like, put it online because her kids saw it. And I said, well, you put your kids online.
Yeah. yeah.
You gave your kid a phone. It yeah. is not my fault that your kid is seeing what, like, the results of your choices. And then the irony is that after that segment mm-hmm. of her podcast, she then went on to talk about her child's therapy session and how, like, therapy.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, you can't have it both ways. You can't exploit your child's, like, most vulnerable moments for content and then be upset about the ramifications of that exact action.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, it's odd to me to put something in a book that and then be mad that it got back to your child, whether it got back to them through social media or, like, they could meet someone who read the book
yeah.
and be like, oh, I read your mom's book and she said this about your dad. Like, it could... It's not about,
I mean,
like,
in the book, when Busy has the second baby, he specifically goes, you can have it if you want, but I'm not going to help you raise it. I don't want that kid.
Wow.
And it's right there. And I go, I don't know. I think you don't think that's going to hurt your daughter's feelings more than me going, oh, yeah, I could. Like, your kids know that you're separated. Yeah. They're there.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
video didn't blow anything up for them.
Yeah.
Nobody gets separated because their relationship is perfect.
No.
Well, and yeah, that is such an interesting thing that we see online over and over and over again. First of all, I'm so glad we asked that question because, mm-hmm. wow, what a juicy story. But second of all, it's like people just want the positive things about social media, which who doesn't? Who doesn't want all the positive and the benefits mm-hmm. without really weighing the consequences and the not so positive things that happen as a result of social media, which
yeah.
ties into our discourse really well.
Oh, I'm excited.
But before we get into our discourse, we have a quick 9-month cruise update.
Huge.
9-month. Okay, so.
Are you 9-month cruise familiar?
I assume you're talking about the gestation period of a human being.
Wow.
To me, a fetus is cruising in that.
Wow, that's so true.
Amniotic sac.
Water.
Okay, well.
You're on the water.
That's true. Well.
No, I'm aware of the lifelong cruisers or whatever.
No. There was a 9-month cruise.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll just read it, right? There is a 160 destination voyage that left from Miami nearly 3 months ago and has already sailed in that it embarked on December, early yeah. December, and it's going to end in September. So it left Miami and has already traveled through multiple parts of the Americas, including Brazil, Argentina, Peru. It went to Antarctica. It went extremely viral. One, like, an influencer who said, we need people on the cruise. There's so much drama because there's like a caste system. It's fucking crazy. There's all these politics. He actually got to go on a brand trip on the cruise. He was on the cruise for 18 days.
Yeah.
That was being reported on. It was crazy. So
God, 18 days. That's
18
long.
Days. That's but the cruise is 9 months and there's a lot of drama. And you can go back and listen to our other podcasts where we talk about the ins and outs of the 9-month cruise.
That's the Neme Nadola episode.
That's the Neme episode. But this is an update. And the update is that there is a rumor. The World Cruise responded to rumors about rerouting its third leg, which has set for the Middle East and Mediterranean in May.
Why? What's going on over there?
Well, I don't know if you've heard a little bit of a thing called Israel-Palestine conflict, but there's some stuff going on there. There's also issues in the Suez Canal. We know that canal because...
Well, that's a very memed canal.
Highly memed canal.
due to that boat.
That boat that was stuck there. And U.S. military activity in Yemen. So all those things combined, they're going to have to reroute. So now the cruise... So a big criticism of when we first covered the cruise is that it's literally going to every continent except for Africa.
It had not one...
Well, it had like Egypt, but it wasn't going to go to sub-Saharan Africa. But guess what? Now they rerouted.
Africa's on the list.
And Africa's on the list. And they're going on the Immersive Africa Tour, which includes stops in Senegal, Ghana, plus nearby islands, including the Seychelles. Sorry, apologies. Madagascar and Mauritius.
Okay.
So now it's going to Africa.
I have some questions, though, mm-hmm. because I've been to bachelor parties that are one weekend and eight girls that take a year to plan. What do they mean they're taking a fucking, how many people are on this cruise?
I know.
Girl,
a 2,000 person cruise to multiple.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that's something that you want to, like, spur of the moment
it's
decide.
$60,000.
You don't just go with the wind on a cruise, okay?
Well, people have paid, so people have planned it. It's $60,000. The cheapest start at $60,000 a person.
But I'm saying the cruise directors, like, you don't want them just pulling out of their hat a stop in Ghana.
So
don't they have to call ahead?
Yeah, yeah. So the stops are happening in May. The cruise gets to vote. They do have pre-planned, like, so they could have stopped in Turkey and Greece longer and, like, rerouted, or they could have done this Africa trip.
Okay.
The cruise, the passengers voted for the Africa trip.
So it's a democratic.
It's pre-planned destinations that they have relationships with. They just weren't going to go on it for the cruise.
Okay, so they have other cruises.
Because I'm just saying, I feel like, is they're not planning? Like, I don't think that this is, like, you get in your car and you just drive wherever you want.
Yeah.
No, but
you're like, we're pulling an audible. When I did my study abroad in Costa Rica, there was an earthquake that was actually pretty crazy, and it messed up, like, one of the locations that we were gonna do. We were gonna go see this, like, beautiful, like, waterfall volcano thing, but that entire area was, like, not accessible because of this earthquake. So they had to pull an audible, and we ended up going to see the world's largest ox cart, which was just a really big ox cart.
That's just wheels, right?
Yeah, it's a wheelbarrow that would be that's pulled just by
a
an
bus,
ox.
That's a bus, no engine, right? Yeah. Okay.
It was genuinely, like, clearly the Costa Rican version of, like, world's largest ball of yarn, like, sideshow attraction. And then we're going to the farm. And we got to this farm, and I was like, this is a working farm. These people do not accept tourists. They do not want us here. How did this thing get planned?
Somebody got paid off. But shit happens on trips, like a 75-year conflict that no one could have predicted that would have stopped the stop.
I definitely get why it's rerouting.
Yeah, it's rerouting. And they voted, and now they're going to Africa.
I will say, this iteration of the conflict has predated the cruise, no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I would say yes.
Absolutely.
But, okay, so that's the happy news. Some sad news is that someone has died on the cruise. It's the first death on the Ultimate World Cruise. A lady passed away last night. She was an elderly lady. One of our favorite influencers said this to TikTok. The reason I know why she died is because I was coming out of my room when they were taking the body out. So there's bingo cards with things happening, like somebody getting pregnant, a wedding on the cruise, like things happening during this 9-month duration. And there was a check for a death on the cruise, and that can be exited out.
We have a friend, mm-hmm. a mutual friend of ours, whose ex-boyfriend's grandma died on a cruise.
Yeah.
I've heard it's very common.
Because a lot of people, instead of retire, like getting a house in Florida, they'll spend that money and they'll just be on a cruise.
Well, cruises do have to have a little, like, morgue on them. Though there was some influencer who was saying that, like, every cruise, four people die. And I was like, that's not correct.
Maybe like an average or something. I don't know.
Well, not that you know of. Did you know everybody on the cruise?
I think we would have found out.
It's a very gossipy group.
I think if one person dies, everyone knows.
I think you do find out.
Okay, well, Claire, so you're clearly not pro cruise, like pro 9-month cruise.
I'm not pro. I'm just, I would like to.
You wouldn't go on a 9-month cruise?
No, I'm just, like, shocked at the size of a ship and that, like, a port doesn't have to be predetermined way in advance.
Okay, that, we just established that is true. But would you go? So you're saying you would go on a 9-month cruise?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Okay. I'm not against it. I'm just, got stuff going on.
Okay.
I'm busy.
Yeah, okay. You're too busy for the 9-month cruise. Wow.
You can't just podcast from anywhere.
The Wi-Fi on cruises
is
tough.
It's bad, yeah.
Yeah,
it's tough,
I'll say that the cruise that I went on, the Wi-Fi was quite spotty.
Yeah.
And I paid for the good Wi-Fi, and then I said, why'd you do that?
Yeah,
I'm also trying to be very, like, conscious of how much time I'm spending in the sun, so I don't know that a cruise is for me.
Mm. I'm a big 9-month cruise.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's close quarters.
It's just I feel like I'm not in a part of my life where I can just disappear for 9 months.
Absolutely. Well,
monkey privilege in itself. Okay, well, that's our 9 month cruise update. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to move on to the discourse.
The discourse.
Where we, again, go down a little rabbit hole of drama. And we kind of talk it out and see who was right, who was wrong. And if there isn't even right and wrong in this. Yeah. And today's discourse takes us down the tricky rabbit hole of hairstylist TikTok.
Oof.
Haircuts.
A lot of discourse.
Before
on this.
And afters, highlights, blowouts, extensions. They're all serious business. And before you know what the drama is, we have to introduce you to the main characters.
Okay.
And the main characters in today's discourse are a hairstyling team. Alfredo Lewis and Philip Wolf. Alfredo Lewis is a hairstyle and TikTok influencer who has 1.4 million followers on TikTok and 660,000 on Instagram. And his partner, Philip Wolf, has 829,000 followers on Instagram. And they've both recently found success doing insanely viral, dramatic, quote, hair transformations. So they typically, the way that their videos work is they take someone with severely color damaged hair and they completely, quote, recover it. Mm-hmm. Alfredo focuses on the hair color and maybe getting it strong and healthy again. And Philip is known for his precision cuts. And sometimes they get like a third person to install extensions or they do it themselves. Okay. But that's kind of the team, right? So the reason they're very successful is that they get twofold money, right? Their videos get a lot of views and their videos are monetized by the TikTok fund. And they put these hair transformation videos, like each of those videos have four or five parts. Mm-hmm. So you watch the beginning, you see this girl with really damaged hair, and then you're invested throughout it. And so they're making money from these views. And then also And they do that to break it up to optimize view counts. And they also have brand partnerships. So they do these dramatic hair transformations, but they're also saying, like, the reason why we were able to do this is because of this product.
Right.
Or this product is the reason why her hair went from this to this. And, like, they're miracle products, you know? Which are, and those products are often, so they get money from the brands and they also link the brands, you know, the
link at the bottom.
Link at the bottom so you
affiliate
can actually
link.
Buy affiliate links. Yeah, thank you. That, thank you.
The industry term.
Okay, huge question though. Is it an affiliate link or is it a brand partnership? Because those are different.
It's both. They do both.
Okay.
They do brand partner, like they don't list it as brand partnership.
That's illegal.
Right? Tricky.
So can I, like, I do wonder then if,
because they're using multiple brands.
So then I don't think it is a brand partnership, because that would be like when they're paying you specifically to do an ad for them. But
it's not an ad. Okay.
Okay. So it's not a brand partnership. It's an affiliate link.
They do affiliate links, but also TikTok the brands pay and they monetize TikTok. And also the brands are like, use this product.
But legally,
if they're
paying you to use it, then you have to
display it's an ad. It's tricky. It's tricky. That's what I'm saying. It's murky. Okay. We haven't even gotten to the drama yet.
Yeah, but I guess so. Like, that's if a brand just gives them the product and they use it, then that's like an affiliate link situation. But if the brand pays them and says, promote our product and we're going to pay you, then they have to do it as an ad and say, like, we like this product and it has to be listed as an ad. So that's
they're not necessarily always listing.
Interesting.
So that's already, right? So that's our first characters, right?
Yeah.
Insanely. Then we have our third character, because we have the hairstylist. I don't think they're married. They might be married.
The hairstylist duo.
Duo. And then we have the character in the story, Taylor Madison. Do you know who Taylor Madison is?
No, but that's the name that where I can conjure the face immediately. Yeah. And I can see her horrible highlights. So.
Yeah. Well, what face do you think? Because guess what? Taylor Madison is an influencer on TikTok, and her biggest pull is that she is a Kylie Jenner lookalike.
Oh, I've seen her. Is she like a 25-year-old mom?
I don't know if she's a mom, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Is she a Kylie Jenner lookalike, or is she somebody who just happens to look like Kylie Jenner, but that's the only thing about her that anybody cares about?
I think she brands herself as the Kylie Jenner lookalike.
Okay, interesting.
And she does look like Kylie Jenner.
There's one. Well, there's one that I know does look like Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she looks like Kylie Jenner. I mean, that's like a face
Kylie
you
Jenner
can buy.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Kylie Jenner filler face, not the OG face. And she has about 780.
Well, can I say Kylie Jenner couldn't even get famous with that OG face? Nobody
else
could.
Girl, and let's talk about it. So she does. She has about 780,000 TikTok followers. She does makeup tutorials to replicate celebrity makeup looks. And like recent videos of her include Emrata's eye makeup, mm-hmm. or, and remember this, Kelly Clarkson celebrity inspired makeup. Just remember, okay. Kelly Clarkson celebrity inspired makeup. So any thoughts on our main characters before we get into the meat of this drama?
They sound like typical TikTok figures that I would see. I watch a lot of those like recreate a celebrity makeup look videos. But
I watch a lot of those. I also thought we were going down the path of like the hairdresser tip thing, because I feel like that's been a huge discourse.
Yes.
Oh, like if you tip hairdressers,
like how that much whole you should. Yeah that I yeah
and it, what hairdressers charge. I've seen a lot of discourse
of
around
like setting your own price. Yeah. Tipping yeah. people who
I
set
mean
their
yeah
own price.
It's tough. Like, and I just have to say, you know. My mom, my family business, my whole life was hairdressers.
Yeah.
My brother, my mother, my dad owned a salon. At a point, my parents, my dad and my mom post-divorce owned rival salons with different brothers. It's a whole thing that's going to be a pilot.
That rocks. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, Millie, write that.
Yeah, I know. In the same strip mall. It's bad. But
In Florida.
We have to have the backdrop of Florida. Anyway, okay. So this is pro, like, I am going to, you know, pro hairstylist, whatever, but it's not about the tipping drama.
So
now you know, yeah. Whatever. So let's see the video of the transformation.
Three times now, I've used two different color removers.
She does look like Kylie Jenner.
Two different times. I've tried toning twice, and it's just.
Let's get into the finale with results and do a quick recap. As you heard there from our consult, Taylor did extensive damage to her hair at home, bleaching her hair multiple times using color removers. We got K18 to her in Minneapolis, and they were so gracious to fly her to LA for this one to help us save her hair.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. The year's best fiction like The Women by Kristen Hanna and Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
You know that feeling when your favorite brand really gets you? Deliver that feeling to your customers every time. Memorable moments like these are key to building your business and your brand. Klaviyo turns your customer data into real-time connections across AI-powered email, SMS, and more, making every moment count. So you can continue to build smarter, more meaningful relationships with your customers. Build smarter digital relationships with your customers. And make every moment count with Klaviyo. Learn more at klaviyo.com/BFCM.
I filled her hair with gold, did a 5N and 5G right on top of it, did some wet balayage. I wanted to do an old money brunette with balayage, and I was so thrilled with the color. Philip Wolf came in and just cut off the dead ends and then came in there and did some texturizing and shaping of her hair. It was such a joy. You guys were so vicious. There were so many rats in the comments with Taylor. You know, she would never, like, who would actually do this? Like, on purpose. Of course, she made a mistake and did her own hair, but nobody does these things to themselves. Look at that color, though. What do you guys think? So a lot of you guys were asking me what I prescribed to Taylor. After Philip came in and did some texturizing, I gave her Calisum. That's Calisum right there. That has an ingredient called PTCT PTT6 that's patented and it wakes up sleeping hair follicles. I was showing her there how to use it. You can't color same day. She's going to do this twice a week at home. And the damage that she had, there were some bald spots on her hair. This is going to help her on a scalp level to help her hair grow back faster. Then I added Bellamy Hair Pro extensions there. If you see there, that color was a perfect color match. We didn't want to add length, actually. We liked the length maybe a little bit, like for a lob. So Philip Wolf came in there and gave it an amazing shaping. And then Makeup by Love Andrea did makeup. Philip is using Design Me there. He's using their spray, and that's their Puff Me. I am obsessed with that. It adds volume to the hair. But look at Taylor's hair, and yes, I also think she looks exactly like a Kylie Jenner doppelganger. She is absolutely stunning. We finished off with the K2 Molecular Repair Hair Oil. There is the before. Here is the after. Did we slay this? Did we eat and leave no crumbs? Let us know what you think in the comments. And here is a final gorgeous shot of Taylor with her hair up.
I want to start ending our episodes with, did we slay this? Did we eat and leave no crumbs?
That's a good question. And it's a question that I actually don't want to hear the answer to.
Because
a surefire way to get my feelings hurt.
What do you think? Was it a slay? You had strong opinions.
I mean, it just didn't look good. Unfortunately, the hair color did not look good on her.
Let's get specific.
Well, she highly bleached, damaged, straw-like hair, which I've been there. I actually was a bleach blonde for like 15 years of my life. People who know me now can't even imagine it, but for a really long time I was like a platinum blonde super tan girl, and I just one day couldn't do it anymore because I damaged my hair too badly.
I'm also a platinum blonde.
Like, we've all made that mistake. I've been there, but what they did to her hair looked like cheetah stripe. Like, the way that they fixed her hair, it just wasn't even, and it looked splotchy and not even like in a thick, the highlights were too chunky way, and like a, from a vertical standpoint, there was like brown, blonde, brown, like a cheetah spot. And then they went with a quote unquote old money brunette.
This is the thing, this fucking old money brunette thing, I keep seeing it. It's literally just brown hair. I don't understand.
Well, it's brown hair that's like got some dimension and been in the sun a bit. But the problem with her is she does look like Kylie Jenner, so she should take a fucking page from Kylie Jenner's book and do like a mostly rich, dark, one-tone, chestnutty brown, because that like it complements the coloring that she's given herself, or I don't know who's, if it was God or herself, but like, if you go all the way Kylie, what they did, and then the blowout at the end
the blowout at the end is what really shook me. They did like those like I would call them like prom curls.
Yeah, it was like a little too much, but
I felt like the styling at the end was where they truly lost me. I did not think it was a particularly flattering color on her, but I was like, I don't know. She's a TikTok girl. Everyone's talking about this old money brunette. Maybe that's what, maybe she requested old money brunette to be in the algorithm or whatever. But the styling at the end is what really made me, I didn't really particularly like the cut or the styling.
I'm also going to say that if somebody comes with severely chemically damaged hair and then you color it and do all this shit and then you curling iron, put a bunch of hairspray, tease it out, like, that can't be helpful either. So those are, okay, so the consensus in the room was that it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And that it was not a slay, and they did leave crumbs.
And then crumbs were left.
Crumbs were left. Okay, so, sorry. I'm dying. Well, y'all. People in the comments also felt the same way. People in the comments complained that the job was splotchy. It's so funny that you use the word splotchy because that's the word that was used often. And I don't know how to spell splotchy. Vulnerability moment.
Okay.
And some even noted that Taylor looked displeased in the video. So Alfredo and Philip were so offended by the comments that they went on and they made a separate video post and said that she was very happy in the chair. And if she doesn't like it, it's her fault because she did not communicating. You have to communicate to her stylist, to your stylist, what you want.
But and she hasn't even said anything at this point, right?
Like, well, I think you have to assume that the entire thing wasn't done in 3 minutes of the video. That there was like an outside. Oh,
well, yeah.
About whether or not she is or isn't happy.
Yeah, they're like,
because maybe she was hinting at it, and then they're like, look, we gave her exactly what she wanted, and if she's not happy with it, it's her responsibility to communicate. But we did exactly what she wanted.
Can I say nobody's ever communicated? I want prom style ringlets that are then like tousled at the root to look messy and bird's nesty.
Nobody's it just ever- looked like you're saying prom. I'm thinking beauty pageant.
Yeah,
it looked like toddlers and tiara.
Yeah, so vibe.
Taylor made a response video. Here we go, Mamma Mia. Here we go.
Done being Mr. Nice Guy, and I'm exposing fucking everyone. I'm exposing everything. The whole time I was there, Alfredo barely talked to me. He was on his phone the whole time. Or if he wasn't on his phone, he was talking with Philip about how... What? So viral.
Fucking TikTok.
I look like Kylie Jenner. Yeah. 1.2 million, he's going to make bank off the videos that he made about me. He's going to make over, well around like $5,000 or more. And that's just for the videos. He gets paid by K18. He gets paid by Tangle Teaser. He gets paid by the hair regrowth brand. The only reason he didn't do the extensions is because he wasn't going to get paid by them. He told me he had lots of extensions there. He just didn't want to use them because he wasn't going to get paid by them. The fact that he's being messy now, I'm fucking done. I am done. They used the shit out of me. The fact that Alfredo is liking comments right now that are bashing me, commenting under videos that are completely bashing me and talking crap about me, saying I'm ungrateful, is just so unprofessional. Like, this dude is so unprofessional. This shit is patchy and it looks bad.
Ooh, that looks really bad.
I'm gonna be so honest. It looks bad. It's giving Y2K Kelly Clarkson. These were the inspo pictures and this is what I got. It's not it. Call me ungrateful, call me whatever the fuck you want, but I know my worth. I know what I'm bringing to the table, and I made him well over $5,000 just because of my face.
Okay, I will say that when she showed the hair in the light of her bathroom, I was shocked by how bad the color looked.
Yeah, maybe. I will say when she showed what she wanted the color to look like, I was like, well, that was wrong as well.
Yeah, but, I'm not a fan of like the kind of, Balayage.
Yeah,
but she wanted, what did she want? She wanted a long, she wanted kind of,
I guess she wanted
past shoulder length.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like kind of mid-bank length, very loose curls with extensions, like.
And kind of like brown with a mix of like, even some of the pictures I feel like had like the blonde, like the money piece in the front. Like she wanted brown with blonde mixed in. And like long, loose, flowy blowout curls.
Not what she got, right? So she got a lob, like chin length.
Yeah.
With whatever. So it's but just to describe.
She says in the video, she goes, because all the products he used, he got paid to use, but he didn't. She says he didn't use extensions because he wasn't getting paid to use them, which is weird because they did put the extensions in her hair. And
I guess
they named
they put
it.
Tape
it said Bellamy. Yeah.
Yeah. And they named it. So in other videos, she says that like, because the brand K18 was the one that actually paid for her flight to go there and got her like first class tickets. And they do mention K18. So K18 supposedly, what she claims in another video, I can't show you guys all the videos, we'll be here all day. In another video, she says that this like X brand, you know, K18 flew her out and we're going to give them a certain amount of money to promote their product in the video. And it's not an ad, right? Like,
right. So that's interesting to your point. It's like, this does feel like it's blurring the line of like what's an ad.
They must be like an official K18. Like they must be.
They are.
Yeah.
Like ambassadors.
Yeah.
They're official K18.
So they're on like a retainer.
Yeah.
K18 retainer.
So they are official K18 ambassadors and also they weren't using just K18 products in the video. Like in that video they used and named like three or four different products, which also I've seen other tutorials like with hair stuff. Like there's this bridal stylist that I like to, and she'll just say texturizing spray. She's not going to say Sebastian texturizing spray, you know, because
I do think that this is a new way of marketing that feels more organic because they're like, you know, the idea is like, okay, we'll give a couple other people a freebie here or there. But then ultimately, if you're consistently using K18.
But I guess what Taylor's suggesting is that they got money from each brand.
Okay.
And then that's when it's getting.
And of course they did. And I don't know what to say to her. That's what happens when a brand pays to fly you out to LA to get your hair done for TikTok. That's what I don't like. I guess I'm sorry that you got a bad haircut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you feel like?
Them being paid by the different brands to say the brand's names, that doesn't that doesn't like bother me just because kind of, yeah, I'm like, well, they paid you to fly out there and get the free haircut. I like, you know, you didn't pay for the haircut either. So that's the game, you know, they're hair ambassador people. So that doesn't like bother me on the same level, but the haircut was bad and it does look bad and the hair does look bad. And I'm also interested because it's like, it seems like they were responding to other people commenting on the post and saying she seemed like she was unhappy. But did she publicly say anything about them before this first video?
I'm dying, guys. No, I think that it was implied. She was like hinting to something. And then when they said, responded and made it seem like it was her fault, apparently that's when she said, but like maybe she was subtweeting it or I don't know. But since then, there's been many back and forths. Alfredo's gone on Instagram live and made like there's been many, many, many back and forths. She Taylor has been deleting stuff again with the same things that you guys are saying, which is like people are weighing in and saying their thoughts, you know, that Taylor's ungrateful because she got a free hair service and got flown out and she whatever. But other people are saying that Alfredo and Philip are coercive, that they put a lot of pressure on clients to be happy, to, you know, or they told her, because apparently Taylor's like, a lot of brands reached out to me, but I wanted to go with them because they said they were going to give me this look and they said it could be done. If I would have known they weren't going to do it, I wouldn't have gone with them. And another hairstylist was like, there, you know, when you have a, like the film crews and all that stuff, or film crews, but like, whatever, capturing
the social media setup
and all these people and like your makeup's done and they're like, how do you like it? Like, it's a pressure to, that you,
I mean, I get on. My hair, if I were to get my hair cut or my nails done without anything set up, I go, oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this not like the joke of getting any sort of service done is that you're sitting there like crying and being like, I think it's really pretty.
Yeah. I've gotten my nails done and like, they were not what I wanted and I didn't say shit and I paid and I tipped and I left because I don't know what it is that comes over you when you're in the chair sometimes, but like it is fucking hard to say in the moment like, oh, I actually don't like it or whatever. That's why like I have the same hairstylist that I've used for years and years and years because yeah. I just like, I know that she's gonna do my hair the way I like. We have a great rapport with each other. But I've definitely been getting my hair cut before and I'm like, oh, shit, they're cutting it too short or they're doing something I don't like. And I didn't say anything because you're just there and I have people pleasing tendencies.
Yeah.
And
I don't. So it's like kind of the two sides of the coin, right? It's like on one end, it's like she should. It's part of the game, this and that. But on the other end, and then she did say she liked it and she even texted the next day and was like, thank you guys so much. But it's that thing of like, if you without the pressure of like having a TikTok stylist that has a million followers filming it and asking you.
And it's free.
If you without that pressure is like nervous to say anything. Isn't that dialing it up? You know what I mean?
Okay, I guess my thing is, is this where our sympathy, are we now supposed to feel sorry for her that she engaged in a business contract and then, like, go fix your hair then? I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't look hard. I mean, the problem here ultimately is they are better at monetizing their business than she is because their business is fundamentally a business and her business is looking like Kylie Jenner online alone in her home. And so she engaged in business the best, like the perks of the way she is an influencer is that she gets free shit and she gets flown out and gets to do these cool TikTok specific opportunities, which is have TikTok famous people do your TikTok famous hair. They make more money because they have a more monetizable business. Mm-hmm. They have products that they sell. They have a service that they sell. They have, like, you know what I mean? Like, ultimately, these are just two people who engaged in a contract. If you don't want, like, your haircut to be up for, like, contract, then don't put it into contract. Go to some...
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't...
I do think that they were really unprofessional, like, bashing her, though. Because she didn't say anything. If she had come out and...
Now they are... And now it's going back and forth... Yeah, you can't really root for anybody because they're going back and forth. She's going back and forth. She's tweeting and deleting or not tweeting.
I mean, listen, I've gotten bad bangs before. And what did I do? I just cried and they grew out. There was no like that. And nobody sat and said, well, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to somebody. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Is she not part of the TikTok creator? Is she not making $5,000 off her? She's getting clout too. And that's the thing is, for true non-talent influencers, which is what she falls under, like fame for the sake of fame people, mm-hmm. views are views. A beef like this ups everybody's views mm-hmm. because look, now they have people on their side too. Like at the end of the day, the algorithm is the algorithm. And so none of this shit is real. There's not like an actual, nobody got hurt in the making of these TikToks.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's like, my two feelings are, it isn't a great haircut. She doesn't have to like the haircut just because she got it for free and whatever. Like, she doesn't have to say, or she doesn't have to like the haircut, mm-hmm. I guess. That's one thing. I don't think it's, like, ungrateful for her to not like a haircut that she was probably getting tagged in a bunch of comments telling her she looks bad. Like, yeah. That sucks. But on the other hand, in her video when she's like, I'm going to expose everything, they were talking about how much money they're going to make. They make money from all the products. I'm like, well, yeah, that's what this is.
Yeah.
You're getting a free haircut from hair influencers who are going to use a bunch of products that they make money off of on your hair. And that brand also flew you out to get the free hair products. And like, we're doing an influencer TikTok thing. So that doesn't...
The irony of that line too to me of the... And they were talking about how big this video is going to do because I look like Kylie. I'm like, that feels like something you say for the benefit of the Kylie Jenner lookalike. That feels like they'll be like, oh my God, this video is going to be huge. Like people, like you look so much like her. People are going to freak out. Like that's all of them colluding like together. Her. Yeah, like that's like, that's why all of them are doing it. Because all of them are like using each other, the crossover, the collab. Like everybody wins.
I'll say like one other perspective that I really appreciated from this was this hairstylist, and again I couldn't link the video because the video was like 6 minutes, but this hairstylist, like professional colorist, was like, they're the way, it's like the way that they do things, like the hairstyling duo, sometimes she feels like sometimes they will purposefully do shit wrong or like not correctly technically for rage baiting to get people to comment mm-hmm. like you didn't do it right, you know, because that encourages more
comments
engagement.
Engagement's engagement.
Yeah. And like also just like that their technique is so dramatic, but not actually the way that like hairstyle professionalists would do it. And, you know, the color technique, like, again, actual hairstylist clipping and screenshotting, like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is not how you apply a color. This is not how you do a balayage. This is not how you do whatever. And it is, like, sensationalized and dramatized for the internet, which I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of... So there's that argument, and then other people in the comments were like, yeah, I paid $500 to, like, take a class from them, but everything was so dramatic and crazy. Like, I didn't feel like I learned anything that I can take to my clients who are, like, just a mom or whatever. But to that, I'm just like, isn't that kind of, like, the hairstylist version of just, like, people who are talented at TikTok versus talented in real life, of like comedians who can do an hour really well versus comedians who can know how to put a clip on line that goes viral. I don't know. This is like my
weird point, like inflection point of people simultaneously thinking they are so fucking savvy and also being the dumbest people we've ever been. And it is like everyone thinks that they're like, you can't fool me, Coca-Cola, with your advertisement say, or like, you know what I mean? Like people think that they're so aware, and the way that everybody uses language, like that's PR, that's PR. Mm-hmm. People will call anything PR in a minute, or like everyone thinks they're onto it and then they fall for things on TikTok. Like, yeah, like rage bait. A lot of, I mean, I was looking at a girl recently whose whole shtick is that like every 4 to 5 months she pops up with some new viral lie where she just like makes something up and gets people all upset. It's very, like she pretended to be the rollerblader that fell off the platform at the Super Bowl for,
Usher.
But then like last year she came out with this fake viral song that was awful. Like, and people forget. They hate her so much they want her dead, and then they forget, and then they hate her so much. And it's just like, you have to, at some point, we have to hold people accountable for saying, like, not everything online is fake. In the same way, when your grandma gets fooled by the guy texting her and saying, hi, I'm Mariah Carey, can I borrow $500? I'm locked out of my penthouse. Like, we have to hold ourselves to the same standard we'd hold our moms or our grandmas when we were like, of course Bill Gates didn't call you personally.
Yeah, well, we did a whole episode on the
scam with the $50,000 shoebox lady.
Yeah, but it is interesting. To your point, like, that's something I think about all the time, is that I feel like people watch social media and they have no idea what they're consuming, who it's from. They can't tell. I mean, there are also people who just say lies and then are like, it was a skit. And it's like, well, that's not.
We've talked about this.
Like, that's not a skit. Like, just lying isn't a fucking skit. But it is this thing where, like, people, it's hard. I do think it's hard to have media literacy on social media when everything looks exactly the same.
Well, okay. I agree with you. And so I recently saw a video being like, Nara Smith isn't a stay-at-home mom. She's a working lady. And I think one of the problems of TikTok is the medium itself pretends that we're all just casually being watched in our day-to-day lives. And something that I used to say all the time about the stay-at-home mom or even the stay-at-home wife, like mm-hmm. the stay-at-home girlfriend content, is if you are consistently going viral, it is very difficult.
Yeah.
Maybe it happens once or twice by accident, but to consistently build a brand and a following is a full-time job. And to do it successfully, when the barrier to entry is as low as it is on TikTok, then and you have that many people competing, it's almost harder. And so you have to understand that when these people are getting up there and saying, oh, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, what they're also doing is creating the content that you're watching. And I think that people have to be made to understand that, like, just like these hairdressers are no longer just hairdressers. They're social media personalities first and foremost, in the same way that when somebody's like, you know what I mean? If you become a baker and then you're running 700 bakeries, you are no longer waking up at 4 a.m. and baking. You are running the business of baking. And like we just read the Rolling Stone article about like JVN and stuff and how they can be hard. And I'm like, when you become the leader of any group of people or any movement or anything, you are no longer of the group. You are a leader. And that is a completely different job.
Yeah. Well, that's just so interesting because it is a thing that I'm like, these trad wives all do have a job and it's to be trad wives on Instagram.
And I think that's what makes it so much more insidious.
Yeah.
Is that they're selling a dream that like, someone I know specifically, had a whole brand built on how happy they were being a stay-at-home wife with no kids and no job. They're so happy. And yet every day they're building a brand online. And it's like, if you were actually fulfilled, you wouldn't be trying this hard to have a job.
Yeah.
And so stop selling to people this idea that you love being a stay-at-home girlfriend, because if you loved being a stay-at-home girlfriend, you would not be trying to build a media empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Those are different things.
100%. And like, you know that they're like, if once you're like monetizing your TikTok and stuff, it's like, yeah, you probably like, she's probably got a fucking business account that she's now you're like operating as
and
a business.
Edit, just honestly, the editing is the hardest part of TikTok for me. It's like, we can make with videos all day, but it's like the editing, the uploading, the this, the that, whatever. So I'm like, yeah, Nara Smith has like 15 different angles of making her kids.
Yeah, making her kids a grilled cheese
the
from
lighting.
Scratch.
I mean,
the lighting.
How often have you been like, fuck, I have to get this one dumb video filmed. And then you're like, but that means I have to do my hair. And if I have to do my hair, then I have to wash my hair.
And then I have to do my makeup. Then I have to do
And then
this.
I have to get it all done before the golden hour. Like, it's very.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hard, but it is a consideration much more than this casual, oh, I'm walking down the street screaming into my phone.
Yeah.
Thing
and her videos are like, on the Nara Smith of it all, it's like, the lighting is great. You know that she has like a full setup that she does.
Her outfits.
She always is all like.
The amount of cleanup and just dishes alone. That's to be cooking like that is like hours and hours. Then
well,
and she's got to do the speeding up and all of this stuff and showing the cooking and the voiceover and the music underneath. It's like this is it is taking her a lot of time to edit and put together these videos. That is a job.
Even cooking is so hard, too, I find, because it's so time sensitive where you're, like, just dumping everything in the pan real quick. And then you're like, fuck, I just missed 19 steps.
And she has to set up her camera every single time to, like, show her chopping, show her doing this. Like,
it's
she's
a lot of work.
Have,
it's a full setup.
So do you agree? Like, back to the discourse.
Back to the discourse.
Yeah. So I guess it's just, like, I was going to show this video. We don't have time for that now. But, like, real hairstylist professionals are weighing in and they're just saying like, this is antithetical to like what a real hairstylist does. The only way to really repair someone who's fried their hair that bad is just, it's a 3-month process that involves lots of haircuts and lots of things. There's not some miracle product and all that stuff. So it is like, just to wrap it up in a nice pin, it's what we're all saying, like, you have to see these things critically. And also, yeah, like, that's kind of the cost of getting flown out, is like, you don't, it's not the same. Like, when you pay for something,
You're an employee. You're, she took on a job.
Yeah, exactly.
And her job was to be girl who was happy with haircut.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when you take that job, you signed up for that. And yeah. I don't know. And I'm sorry that your hair sucked. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the discourse.
Wow. And what a discourse it was.
Yeah.
So, and it really took us so many places. I've been like, when are we going to talk about trad wives?
We haven't even, yeah, that's a pinned discourse because that's a whole thing.
All right, I'm going to move us into our next segment. This is our segment, recently created segment called Polititiktok, where we talk about politics. And it's really earning its name today because we are going to take a moment to talk about the potential ban of TikTok. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the other day, this is a literal like screenshot from my phone. I opened TikTok and I saw this, which was it came up immediately. I'll read it to you guys, but it came up on your screen and it was a message from TikTok before you could watch your constant stream of hair videos. It's a message from TikTok. It says, your freedom is at risk. The House of Representatives votes on Wednesday, March 13th. The U.S. House of Representatives will vote on a TikTok ban. This means your content, your right to express yourself, and your income will be shut down too. Make your voice heard. Then there's like a place where you can enter in your zip code and it'll tell you how to call your representative. Call your representative now and tell them to vote no on the TikTok ban. Hashtag keep TikTok. Did either of you guys get this when you opened TikTok?
No, I saw, but I don't know that I've opened TikTok. I could have just scrolled by it. I'm a yeah. real like.
I'm getting. Get me to my videos.
Yeah. I've seen people call like the videos of like Gen Z and Gen Alpha like calling their representative.
Yeah.
Is like the funniest thing ever.
So it like very much worked. A lot of TikTokers posted urging their followers to call because like we just talked about like. This is people's business and livelihoods. Yeah. Like, people have built entire...
But that being said, the people, like, you are your business. The platform is the technology. And there will be, much like Vine came and went, Instagram, Snap. Like, there will always be, as long as there is an internet,
there will be...
Yeah, there be, but, like, these people have... I mean, it was... To me, that just reminds me of when Kim Kardashian and the Kardashian clan, when Instagram shared... that they were going to like deprioritize images and more focus on videos and reels. And the Kardashian clan was like, yes, there'll always be new platforms, but we have created our business structure to optimize images. And we are so image focused and image forward. And we have the whole year planned out for you to just change it up would really fuck us over. And we'd rather not. So,
and there are people who built like whole world, like things on Vine. Well, I feel like
the problem of that too is that like the fact that it's not actually democratic, the idea that these platforms are dishonestly pushing certain contents, because I think we've seen that on Facebook. There was that whole problem a few years ago where everybody came out with fake data that said actually video is the most important medium. And then every news source pivoted to video and it turned out video did not come through at all. And like so many people got laid off. I feel it right now with TikTok, the way that they're fake pretending that long form video is the most watched thing on TikTok. That's of course not true, but they are manipulating their content creators to compete and then take over YouTube. Like the problem is not that the Kardashians lost the power of themselves. The problem was that the system was being manipulated by people higher up.
Yeah. But I guess my bigger thing is like, people do have entire, like, businesses and livelihoods that are run off of TikTok. And, like, yeah, you can move to the next platform, but it's not necessarily a guarantee that you're going to pop on the next platform. There were, like, Vine stars who just never got it to Instagram, to TikTok, to whatever. So I get why TikTokers are, like, freaked out, basically.
Of course, yeah.
So many people called that congressional offices... Some of them shut their phone lines off in response, which is crazy to me because I'm like, I haven't even heard, like, y'all don't do that for, like, shootings, for Gaza.
Like, they did. I feel like they did do it for Gaza,
though. Did they shut their phones off?
Yeah, they, like, it was coming out that they were, like, not answering. Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess my thing is, like, for them to, like, publicly be like, we have shut off our phone. Like,
they are, the disrespect I've seen towards people caring about a bill that would affect their life is crazy. Yeah. I've seen a lot of mockery of, like, teens calling.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, they're... Well, do you want to engage or not?
Yeah, this person, Taylor Husley, who's a communications director for Florida Congressman Vern Buchanan, posted on Twitter. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't look into Vern's affiliations, but this person posted a clip, like a screenshot, and said that staffers were getting a lot of calls from high schoolers asking what a congressman is. And I'm like, first of all, I don't believe that.
No.
I don't think that high schoolers are calling your office and asking what a congressman is. I think that they know what a congressman is, and that's why they're calling your fucking office.
Yeah.
Like,
I will say, I remember the first time I called my congressperson, and the tone, like the tude I received.
Yeah.
From the, and I was just like, why are you treating me like this?
Yeah.
And I was not an uninformed person. They were just like, I was like calling to voice my support for something, and they were like, yeah, that's, it was like whoever my representative was had written the bill.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And they were like, so is he even your representative? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, you didn't know that? And I was just like, okay, we're on the same team. I don't know why you're mad that I'm calling you on your side.
Yeah, it's just like, to me, I'm like, yeah, kids care about this.
Yeah.
Like, you knew that when you wrote this bill, you're gonna get called from young kids, and I think it's fucked up to try to dunk on high schoolers who are calling their congressman about a bill.
But like, this is back to the thing we were just talking about, that the minute you're deemed a leader of a certain group of people, you're no longer of that group. Like, yeah. The way that they are being so condescending and like, you know what I mean, the disdain that they have for their own constituents.
Yeah, it's
those
just
are
odd.
Your people.
It's also like in America, in most America, and now I'm going back on my anti-car stance, but like, we've made it so impossible for kids to just like walk to a park or do anything. If kids like play alone, they're, you know, CPS gets called, they have to have a car for everything. And the only way that a lot of people can connect with other people without a car, without, you know, there's also no public spaces anymore. It's like, it is the internet.
Yeah, that's the only place you can build a community anymore.
That's the
really
only place
free.
You can build in a community for free. You have to, you know, the libraries, they want to close those, all this shit. But even the library, like, you still have to fucking drive there. You know what I mean? So it's like,
and
a
you're
lot
not
of
really
these
gonna like have fun with your friends at the library.
Yeah. No, you're
gotta be quiet.
No. Exactly, yeah. You have to be
you
quiet.
You do famously
exactly
have to be quiet at the library.
Yeah,
it's not a great place to chat.
But exactly, like, there's no public spaces. So for teens, this really does affect them.
Yeah,
and it's sad. It's sad that affects them like that.
But. Yeah, and like, I don't know if this is a gateway bill that has kids becoming politically active. Like, I think that that's good.
But they don't want kids to be active.
No,
that's
they
the
don't.
Problem is they like
a bunch
they
of
don't.
60-year-olds.
Neither side wants Gen Z voting at this point. Like,
yeah.
But so just to go into what's in the bill or what it is, the bill comes out. It came out of the House out of committee already, and it was unanimously passed 50-0 out of committee. The bill would give ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, 165 days to divest or face being banned from U.S. app stores, including the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. Goes to the House floor for a full vote next week. So that's why that like TikTok thing is coming up. As of Friday, Biden said he would sign it if it passes through Congress. As we know, bill got to go to the Senate. Mm-hmm. Then they do the the whole thing. And then weirdly enough, Trump, who originally spearheaded the movement to ban TikTok, is now saying he's against it.
Wow.
Because he posted on Truth Social, which, who knows, maybe everyone would move to Truth Social. But he truthed that if you get rid of TikTok, Facebook and Zucker Schmuck will double down their business. I don't want Facebook, who cheated in the last election, which is just fun from
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I know.
Doing better. They are the true enemy of the people. So now
also,
Trump
Facebook
has,
is
like,
super Republican now, too. So.
He's confused. Everybody.
Well, so the fucked up thing about the bill, too, it's not that, like, they want to ban it. It's like they don't want this Chinese company to own it.
Yeah.
They want them to sell it to American people.
That's
which is
crazy.
Like,
I know.
It's so fucked up. It, like, they're. Yeah, that's like kind of the really testy thing. It's like, it's really about
no,
money.
No, I mean, like, at the end of the day, I'm like, listen, we should all get off TikTok. But I'm like, I think this is like Chinaphobia.
It's Chinaphobia.
Yes. It's like, I don't think that. Yeah.
U.S. like wanting the money for social media to go to them. But I'm also like, yeah, you don't care about the actual harmful things that social media does
like
to people
getting ugly haircuts.
Like
yeah.
People getting ugly haircuts or, you know, maybe like cyberbullying or, you know, any of the other really nasty like data collection or scamming or stuff like that.
And also like, I don't know, I'm
it's
sorry,
about
but like
money.
If the Chinese government wants into my phone, they're getting in there.
Yeah.
TikTok or no, that they made the phone. So like they're going to get in there. And to your point, a bunch of representatives who were called, like they've just been completely dismissive of these people who are calling in. And they said that the calls are a result of Chinese propaganda and that the app is like that. The fact that the calls even happened is proof that like the Chinese Communist Party is brainwashing American children.
Oh, okay. Via TikTok.
So I think you were spot on with the the thought that some of this is just like kind of anti-China sentiment.
No, yeah, because this is their second attempt at it, right?
Yeah. And like, again, there are legitimate concerns about TikTok that, you know, the way that TikTok is marketed to American children versus Chinese children, which in China, like the TikTok, each person, right, each teen or something or kid who's on TikTok, they get like an hour or 2 hours of like any FYP, and then it automatically goes to like science, STEM, and educational videos in America and other countries. Unregulated, completely fucked up, whatever. But so it's like there are things that you can say about TikTok, but that's not what these government officials are saying. They want it to be like the money to be American, and they want to profit off of the demise of their own people, not another country.
Yeah, we're going to poison our kids. We're going to rot these kids' minds with a constant stream of videos.
Yeah.
Not you. All right, y'all.
Hypocritical of Biden, sorry. Mm-hmm. Especially because Biden's been on, recently did launch his own TikTok too.
Yeah, that is funny. He did just get on TikTok himself.
He just got on TikTok and now he's like, I'll ban it. It's like, wow, did the Dark Brandon video not perform?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, are you not getting the you're not getting your engagement?
Yeah.
I'm banning the whole app.
Very Elon Musk.
It is.
Very. Like my video or no one gets to do any videos.
Well.
I'm buying the whole platform and my first act is to make it so everyone sees my tweets. All right, guys. Speaking of Elon Musk, that actually segues us in very well to our grasshole of the week.
Our final segment.
You know, it took me a little while to decide on this week's grasshole.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of different options, and I would say that this is a different variety of grasshole mm-hmm. than we've had. We've had a lot of businesses behaving badly, celebrities who can't stop tweeting. This is a little bit different, but it is someone whose mind has been poisoned by Silicon Valley ethos, I would say. This week's grasshole is longevity enthusiast Brian Johnson. And
he's that freak.
Yep.
The one that gets the
and exactly. He's that freak.
The one that gets the blood infused.
Exactly. We're gonna get into it.
Okay.
So the one who looks wet all the time.
He certainly does. He certainly does. Wow, I'm glad you guys are familiar with this week's grasshole. So I learned about him from an article in The Atlantic that came out this week called I Went to a Rave with a 46-year-old Millionaire Who Claims to Have the Body of a Teenager.
Can I say 46 still isn't that old? That's just like every actress in Hollywood.
Yeah. But he has put so much shit on his face and body that he does look 40. I don't know.
We'll look at a picture of him. So this article was by Mateo Wong at The Atlantic. Anyone can read it. So who is Brian Johnson aside from that freak who takes blood injections?
From his kid.
Brian Johnson is a 46-year-old centimillionaire. So I guess that means he has like hundreds of millions of dollars. But he hasn't hit the billionaire
club. If you asked me what centimillion, I'm like, oh yeah, $7 million.
And this isn't a math podcast. And we say that all the time.
And it's not science.
He made his fortune in Silicon Valley after he sold Braintree to PayPal for $800 million.
So that's Braintree?
I think it's another like payment app.
Okay.
It's like another PayPal kind of.
For how much million?
800.
800 million.
Wow.
So that's the centimillionaire of it all. And then he probably did the rich people thing where you turn your money into more money.
Must be nice.
There's a trend in general among like Silicon Valley bros, Bezos, Zuckerberg, etc., about like trying to extend human life indefinitely using AI. But this guy is like the guy who's trying to do that.
As somebody who read Tuck Everlasting Young,
mm-hmm.
I know for a fact that death is one of the sweetest gifts that we mere mortals have. Mm-hmm. And that to want to live forever, like watch any Twilight, it's actually a curse.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, I just feel like we innately know as humans that while death is scary and no one wants to like die before their time, you also don't want to live forever.
Well, I just feel like 85 to 90 years is such a good amount of time.
Well, Brian disagrees.
Brian definitely disagrees. So he is on the path. Basically, he's trying to discover an algorithm that will extend your life indefinitely. I mean, will extend his life indefinitely. Yeah, he says like it's like, for everybody, but it's like it's mostly for him and other really rich people.
I wonder
people.
If he took all the time he spent trying to extend his life and just like took his kid to a baseball game, if he'd actually get to the end of his life and go, that was enough time. Do you know what I mean?
But I feel like, is he trying to extend it? But I feel like he's trying to extend his youth.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily like he wants to be 108. Like, he wants to be
17 forever.
Yeah, like,
yes.
In his 30s like, forever. Yeah.
No, that's definitely an element of it, is he wants to not only live forever,
yeah.
but he also doesn't want to, like, look like an old wizard. Like, he wants to, like...
He wants to age.
He wants to
like,
look...
not age.
Young. So, every decision about his health is made by a specialized software and a team of 30 medical specialists who monitor and analyze data about his organs. This protocol is what he calls the blueprint. And he wants this to become available to everyone, but again, it's really just for rich people. So this is some elements of the blueprint. He wakes up at 4:30 a.m. and goes to bed at 8:30 p.m. He eats his last meal of the day at 11 a.m. This one was just funny to me because I'm like, I don't know if this is related to the blueprint, but he always sleeps alone.
You sleep better alone.
He does a ton of intense exercise. He takes like 100 different supplements and shit every day. He does microneedling, full body LED exposure, regular MRI scans, bone marrow transplants, gene therapy, and as Millie alluded to, he has gotten experimental blood transfusions from his teenage son. So he is taking his son's blood, basically. And when asked at a conference if people thought like this, like, do you think it's too far that you're taking your son's blood? He said, we create these boundary conditions and we label them as normal and label other things as crazy. We try to create these sacred spaces where things can't be touched, but it's a trap in a time and place. Society has never thrived on a status quo. It's always gone forward, blazing new trails. If this triggers a non-normal, so be it. So he just like didn't answer the question. And he was like, the status quo is to not steal your child's blood. But I'm saying... you should take your kid's blood.
But I mean, I still like what I say stands. Like, what is life where you can't go out to dinner with a friend?
Yeah, I'm like waking up at 4 a.m. and taking 100 supplements. I'm like, yeah, I think I'd rather die.
I'd rather just get old.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a chili cheese dog straight to the crow's feet. I don't give a fuck.
So he said in an interview also, because he has some kind of contentious relationship with his son's mother, his ex-wife, because one of the videos I saw on his Instagram was him being like, she tried to sue me, but won.
No,
like,
it's really bad. I looked into the lawsuit, and I don't know if it's the mother of the 19-year-old, but also an ex-girlfriend. She had, like, brain cancer, and he, like, kicked her out of the house and did some fucked up shit, and, like, so it's like, you want to live long and you're
Yeah, so he also like wouldn't he's like been evasive on the question of like, is the mother of your son cool with you taking his blood? He like won't answer that question. And he also said in interviews that he's like, yeah, you know, I want to find a partner, but I can't find anyone who's down for the protocol and like or the blueprint and my lifestyle. And it's like, okay, so you want to live forever alone, full of your son's blood. Like, what is the actual point here? He did tweet in July that he is actually no longer going to be needing his son's blood because his existing therapies were good enough that he doesn't need his son's blood. But he did give his own father his blood, and he said that his super blood reduced his dad's age by 25 years. So he doesn't need super blood because of all the other stuff he's doing.
This
but
is
his
very
dad,
vampiric, though. It's really weird.
Listen, we're going to get into it. So, and also the blueprint costs $2 million a year. for him to do. So,
oh, great.
The result is that he claims he has slowed the overall.
A girl I know called Tay Crumbs was doing it herself for free. So,
wow.
Do you know that girl who's waking up at 3 a.m. every morning?
No, but
she had to stop because she didn't have a dream for a year. And it turns out her cortisol was real fucked up. And it's actually not healthy to be waking up at 3 a.m. every day.
Yeah, but
what would she do at 3 a.m.? Like, just like work out and do shit?
Yeah, work out. She did this thing she called silent reading, which we would know as regular reading.
Yeah.
What was crazy to me is she would meal prep her lunches on weekends, and I was like, baby girl, if you're waking up at 3 a.m., you could slow roast a pork.
Yeah.
And because she had to be at work by 10 a.m. I'm like, that is enough time to be making lasagna from scratch. What are you doing eating old sandwiches, my friend?
Yeah, that's
you're having like dry rice. You could be making like the catch your own salmon, bitch. You've got 8 hours.
That's crazy.
But anyway, I would like to say the joke there is that it turns out it was very bad for her to be doing that. Because it's not human. It is not aligned with your like circadian rhythm, and her cortisol was very high, and it turned out she was bloated for years and hadn't had a dream, and like she just like was not well, because it turns out basic and like the body was built to do what the body obviously does.
Yeah It's so okay, but he claims that this has slowed down his overall pace of aging by 31 years, put his cardiovascular capacity among the top 1.5% of 18-year-olds, and this is a direct quote from the article, delivered him nighttime erections that are frequent and strong enough to rival a teenager's. He tracks them through a wearable device called the Atom Sensor while he sleeps. So I tried to look up if the Atom Sensor is like an aura ring that you wear on your ring, because it was referred to as a ring. If it was like a finger ring, or if he's putting a cock ring on every night before bed, I could not.
He's doing what Charlotte York did in Sex and the City, where it's just like a little piece of paper to see if he gets hard in the night, remember?
Oh, yeah. That's the Atom Sensor. That's the beta Atom Sensor.
Wait.
Carrie came up with it at a diner.
Wait, so So not only does he want to extend his life, he wants to be a teen again.
He wants to be an 18-year-old.
And have uncontrollable heart. Like, I'm like, aren't you happy to not be there anymore? You know what the scariest movie, like horror for me was eighth grade. I was like, this is terrifying. I cannot experience this. The secondhand cringe. And I'm like, this guy's paying $2 million a year to live that.
Well, that's what I say about all the women who are obsessed with like anti-aging skincare, who are like 23 and getting preventative Botox. I'm like, what about being 23 do you love?
Yeah.
Like, how is society treating you at 23 that you're hoping lasts forever? Because I remember being 23.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite year.
It fucking sucked.
No.
By all means, please look at me and say, oh, she's earned respect with her years on this planet.
So I am going to show you guys a picture now, and you tell me if you would think this was an 18-year-old.
No, he looks like fucking Kyle Lachlan or whatever. He actually looks like Charlotte's husband.
Yeah, he looks...
Oh, Kyle MacLachlan. Yeah.
He looks a little younger than 46.
He looks to me exactly 46, like a jacked 46-year-old.
I would say 39. I would give him 39.
There's a death in the eyes.
Yeah. He could tell me anywhere from 39 to 46, and I would be like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. That's your age. But I guess maybe he's like, but inside, I'm 18. This dick, though...
That 18. Nobody wants a part of because my life sucks.
That no I can't get a partner.
Jackhammer.
I'm sleeping alone and hard every single night. Oh, it's just God. Like, he also posted this picture just to go to the vampire thing. It's like him laying in a field. And then his caption was, I figured out who you remind me of. The vampire, Edward Cullen, remarked my MRI technician after 2 hours of imaging ankles and wrists. These pictures are how to nap like a vampire. He's favorably compared himself to Jesus, saying
Jesus famously died.
Jesus actually died young.
I was like, his like the big thing about Jesus was that he died.
Well, also, I would say, I mean, not the big thing, but like a thing was that Jesus also did nice things for other people. Jesus didn't sue his ex-girlfriend who was dying of brain cancer.
You don't know that. Ask Mary. Where's her part of the Bible?
Well, here's the thing. Jesus also gave his blood. He wasn't taking blood. He was giving his blood. And he does it every single day in the form of communion. And he still gives it to us. Okay, but so basically his basic thing is that he thinks humanity is going to imminently be replaced by super intelligent AI. But that also that AI that's going to replace us is the key to everyone living forever. He started this community called Don't Die. 5,000 people have signed up for an experimental study with this. 13,000 people have joined his Discord called Don't Die Army.
Half of them have to be trolls. Like, I'm curious. I do want to know what the fuck is going on.
And he also, like, sells products based on this. He has a $30 life-extending olive oil.
Is that just olive oil?
I think it
is. That's just good olive oil.
I think it's olive oil. I think that we've known for a long time that olive oil is good for you.
Yeah, but also you get $30 olive oil from Italy.
Yeah.
You gotta get it from this guy.
Yeah, you don't. You definitely don't have to. So to round this all out, the author of this article does go with him to Ghost, that gym. Have you guys seen that
Yeah,
gym?
There's one in Williamsburg. Yeah. It's scary.
I didn't even know this, but it's a capped It's a capped membership gym for thought leaders and creatives. They did a 3-hour
dance.
Like
Soho House for...
Yeah.
Yeah, but a gym.
Jesus.
You've walked by it like 80 times.
No, I've seen it a million times. Like, but I always am like, what goes on there?
It's a basement. Like, it's so weird.
So one of the things that goes on there is a 3-hour dance party with this guy, which ended precisely at midnight so everyone could get some sleep. The bar served 3 mocktails. They were called Prometheus, Autonomous Self, and Vampire.
Unfortunately, this is like my dream night. I love bar mitzvah, bat mitzvahs. I love a sober dance party where we all get some good sleep. That is a dream to me.
Wow. So, you know, look into the blueprint.
I don't know if me and him love the same playlist, but the idea of, like, dancing with my friends sober and just having fun and then going to bed at a reasonable hour is like a birthday party to me.
That does sound fun. So you're saying he's candidate for Grasshole, not because he's posting too much, but because he's so online.
Yes.
He does need to go outside and, like, experience life.
Yeah, he's so obsessed with using the internet and AI and algorithms to extend his life that he's not really living it. And for that reason, we say, Brian Johnson, go touch grass.
It kind of reminds me of Soul, like that movie Soul.
Yes.
Can't tell you what the point is, but I feel like it's somewhere he would learn a lesson from, like, you got to live life. I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
Don't ask me what the plot of Soul is. Don't ask me anything, but...
I think there are a lot of movies where the plot is like...
Saw. He should be sawed. He needs to be stuck in a fucking room with a lot of sun exposure, ironically, and be like, you need to appreciate the life you were given.
Because at the end of the day, you could be the healthiest person on earth, and, like, you could be walking down the street and an air conditioner can fall on you, and then you're just...
Well,
you're done.
That literally... Fucking... This girl was walking down Manhattan... Construction was going around her. Crane fell on her. She got fucking flattened. 3 weeks before her wedding, she got buried in her wedding dress. It was fucking morbid, but it's like, damn, you really never know. And sorry, I shared that. We could take that.
Really, like, death is among us.
Death is among us. But also, you know, again, Buddhist quote, but I really do believe this. It's like, when you die, because everyone dies, people aren't going to remember how much money you had or any of your accomplishments. They're just going to remember how you made them feel. And this guy makes me feel icky. I feel that, and I will remember that. When he dies, he might outlive me, but this don't make me feel... This feels unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah. When you die, your 17-year-old son isn't going to remember how much money you made. He's going to remember that you made him give you his blood.
A lot.
Imagine being the kid waiting for that fucking inheritance, though, being like, it's never going to come.
Yeah, well, right? Prince Charles.
Yeah. He is also always like, no, my son wanted to give me his blood. I'm like, okay, man.
Yeah.
He's 17. Like, you as a parent should be like, actually keep your blood. But that's our Grasshole of the Week. That rounds out our show. Claire, you've been such a wonderful guest.
Claire, thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
We loved having you. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, follow you, listen to the pod, all the good things.
We are Celebrity Memoir Book Club, the purple one on, like, paper background. Everywhere you listen to a podcast and everywhere on socials. And you'll find me personally from there. The pod's more important than my individual self.
The pod is more important.
That's what we say. The pod is more important than my individual self. Guys, you can find me at Pandalise on Instagram, at Elise Navidad on TikTok, and this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything.
Yeah, you can find me at Millie Tamaris, or Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and on TikTok, and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter. I'm still there. Yes, I hate myself. I will also say, we do post a roundup of everything on Instagram. So if you want to see the splotchy hair jobs, you want to see this guy's creepy abs, you want to see the government banning TikTok, please, please, please follow us on Instagram and check that out.
Day this episode comes out, there'll be a carousel with all of our sources. And we have
Our Lord the Mortician episode. Speaking of death, we have our Lord the Mortician episode on Patreon that we just released on Saturday. And there are car seat influencers, guys. And it is crazy.
And we talk about them. Don't forget to leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. We'll always accept them. And until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.